Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, don't forget our weeknight national call-in show for the first 100 days of the new presidency called Indivisible. Our Wednesday night host, Charlie Sykes, will be back tonight at 8 o'clock. Indivisible tonight at 8, our national call-in show for the first 100 days of the new presidency. So, terms of service. You've seen them, and chances are you've clicked on agree, but you probably didn't read through them, right? They're usually long and hard to understand, and why bother with the fine print, right? But according to Pew Research, 74% of Americans say that it's very important to control our identity and information online. So while we give away information like the sites we visit, the things we buy, the search engines we use, we still want our privacy to be protected. Can it be, even as we want unfettered online lives? That question is at the heart of the podcast Note to Self's big new project, The Privacy Paradox. They spoke to experts, dug into research, heard from listeners, and they have a five-part project for you to take part in that starts next Monday that should be both fun and enlightening. So joining me now to talk about the project is the host and managing editor of Note to Self, none other than Manoush Zomorodi. Hi, Manoush.
Hi, Brian.
Do you want to define the paradox any further?
Well, it's complicated. There's lots of paradoxes when it comes to privacy, but what behavioral economists are referring to when they use the term the privacy paradox, it is that we care very deeply, as you said, about privacy. Despite what people think about millennials sharing everything online, that is simply not true. We all want our, of course, our bank accounts and our social security numbers and all our private things to stay private. But at the end of the day, to be a person in the modern world, you, most of us, have decided we also need to use all these digital tools. And somewhere along the way, and I can't put my finger on it, we made a bargain with these companies, right? Which said that in exchange for a free app or a free service or the access to the cloud, I will give you everything, really everything about me.
So let's go through real briefly the five steps in the project that you're doing next week, one for each day, Monday through Friday, and we'll talk through the issues through that. We'll also invite some phone calls on a little kind of preview project for right now on the air. Day one, next Monday, February 6th, is what your phone knows. What are people supposed to do?
So we're talking about metadata on Monday, which, you know, you hear the term all the time. And the difference between metadata and data is this, right? The email that you composed on the subway this morning, because, yes, now we have connectivity all the time on the subway. Mm-hmm. That is regular data, right? It is content. But the metadata is what time you opened your email app, the pinging that came out of your phone to alert the company, the phone company and all the other apps that you used, where you were, all the other information sort of seeping out of your phone at all times, that is your metadata. And for you tech nerds out there, Bruce Schneier, he's a renowned cryptographer, is going to be with us sort of explaining how all that metadata gets used, because actually, it can, once you put it together, they can figure out exactly who you are. It doesn't require cookies, as we used to talk about. There's something called digital fingerprinting, which takes all those little metadata data points, puts them together, and that's how we get tracked.
And for people who haven't heard of metadata in other ways, that's what Edward Snowden revealed,
yes,
that the NSA was collecting, which wasn't the content of our phone calls or the things we did online, but it was what websites we were at what time. It was what number called what number or texted what number. Those things are metadata.
That's precisely right. And so what we're asking people to do on Monday is take just a little bit of your metadata back, just a little something to show that you can dig into those app settings and turn off location-based services. I know some people who, Uber, for example, the latest update of the Uber app, if you either have location tracking on all the time or off all the time, there's no in between anymore. So I do know people who only turn it on when they are going to use Uber.
And what's the danger of keeping – well, let's put out the caller question because it does have to do with turning locations off, right?
Yes.
Location services. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to know from our listeners right now?
Well, listeners, I'm curious because we did a survey with Note to Self listeners, and they told us 57% of them had ditched an app because of their privacy practices. They were like, you know what? I'm done with you, app. Off my phone. I'm curious to know, have you ever ditched an app because you were worried about privacy? Also, have you dug into the settings on your phone, the privacy settings? Have you switched off location-based services? Have you switched off the microphone? A lot of apps, you may not realize, ask for access to your microphone. If you don't think that Instagram needs to know where you are at all times, have you turned it off? Have you bothered? I'm curious to know.
So call in, listeners. Answer Manoush's question at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Even if you go to turn off Bluetooth on your device, you get a little message, at least on an Apple device, that says, turning off Bluetooth will decrease the accuracy of location services,
right, something like that. And you think, oh, well, that's not good. I might as well just leave it on.
But then
what you don't necessarily realize is companies like, for example, Retail Genius, you walk into a retail store and they are tracking you and sending information back to the company, how much money you're likely to spend when you're in the store, what your annual income is likely to be, all kinds of ways that we don't see or even know about.
Just through locations?
Yes. Yes.
Through locations.
Specifically with the Bluetooth with Retail Genius. So that is one
way.
With that.
Yeah. But, you know, generally, people might think, oh, yeah, it's more convenient to keep locations on because if I start searching for a restaurant or a store, it already kind of knows where I am. So it, you know, the answer is going to pop up more quickly.
And I think, you know, to be clear, Brian, we're not saying to everyone, switch it all off. Don't do it. Like, we don't want to ditch our smartphones. My God, I love my phone. It's right here next to me. But I think the point is find out where you are on this privacy scale. If it's something that you feel very, very, very strongly about, then maybe you do want to switch them all off. If you want to trade your privacy, you've decided the convenience is worth it, that's totally legit too. And actually, Brian, we have a very fun quiz, which is based on privacy research that can help you figure out where you are on this privacy scale. So are you the believer, the realist, or the shrugger?
And people can take this personality profile quiz on a website?
They can indeed. Privacyparadox.org.
Ooh, the project has its own website.
It does have its own
website. It's easy to remember, too.
Yes, and we will not share your email. We've made a promise there. We do not track cookies. We made a patch to it last night. We are really trying. We have our own privacy statement.
Because if you did, that would be a privacy paradox.
Indeed. Well, I mean, the fact that we're even talking about privacy right now is another paradox, right? We have to be more open and really get this discussion out in the public about where our privacy, where our digital civil liberties are, really, because this right to privacy is enshrined in the Fourth Amendment. And because of all of the changes in technology, there's some question of, is it being stepped on without us even realizing it?
So privacyparadox.org to take the survey. And Jill in Westchester, you're on WNYC with Manoush Zomorodi. Hi, Jill.
Hi. What a pleasure to hear that there are other people out there who are concerned about privacy.
Yay, Jill.
The privacy settings on my phone are always off. I am talking to you from a landline phone, one of those things that plugs into the wall.
Why for you? What are you afraid of?
I am sensitive to the fact that the government has the ability, or private corporations and marketing people have the ability, to know information about me that I don't want to share unless I make the decision to share it.
That really speaks to me. And I think the point is, it's not like, oh, Jill has something to hide. The point is that it's her individual right. It's self-determination, right? It's free will to decide what you're going to share with whom. And the question is, and a lot of the experts I spoke to, particularly the legal experts, warn of this sort of chipping away at our sense that we have this right to privacy.
So can you tell from that brief phone call which of the three personality categories she would fit into?
I think Jill's a believer. I think, Jill, you are a believer.
I'm a believer.
Yes.
The definition of believer?
Being that you don't – it's a fundamental – concept that you believe in. Privacy is part of your DNA, and maybe you love watching Mr. Robot or Westworld, and you do think Ed Snowden is a hero. We have a whole, I don't know, you're making cookies and eating them and saying, cookies, I got you. Somebody who really cares about this stuff. I'm actually more of a realist, Brian.
You are.
I am.
And a realist is?
A realist is someone who understands that in order for us to get these very personalized services, there is some very personal information that we have to hand over. There is an exchange. But what I'm not okay with is the companies not telling me when that's happening and not telling me what they're doing with that data.
And the final category is shrug.
There's the shrugger. The shrugger is like, oh, well, this is just how modern life works these days. We kind of have to just hope for the best. I will say we have the smallest amount of shruggers. I think if you are inherently interested in privacy, it's unlikely that you're a shrugger.
Yeah.
But I have had a lot of people say, you know, I started out as a shrugger and I started thinking about this and diving into it. And now every time I go on Facebook, I can't not think about it.
Ellie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, I was calling regarding your segment, and I was just thinking about when I turned on my phone this morning, it kind of told me exactly where to go for work. I have a different school I'm assigned to every day, and it kind of knows exactly where I'm supposed to be on each day, and it really kind of just woke me up and said, wow, they're really tracking and really able to predict your patterns, and it did. It kind of awoken me to that.
You got a little freaked out.
Yes, very freaked out.
I mean,
Because I don't view myself as very, very predictable, and because my patterns do change on a daily basis, but my phone kind of picked up on that and knew that my patterns change on a daily basis and still was able to predict where I would go with that.
So you deleted Uber?
I did. I deleted Uber, and I changed my Twitter settings. You know, now when I go on Twitter, it kind of asks me each time, do you want to allow access to your camera, to your microphone? Because I kind of shut off a bunch of different things. I went through a bunch of my apps just to kind of be a little bit more aware of what's happening, because it did. It freaked me out.
No longer a shrugger, Vinesh.
No longer a shrugger. Thank you, Ellie. Do you think you're going to go to Believer, or are you more of the realist, would you say?
I'm definitely more of the realist. I'm attached to my phone. I need it. I need it for everything. I do rely on it. But just because I rely on it that much, that's what made me a little bit more nervous when that happened. I went definitely from being a shrugger to, wait a second, I rely on my phone. I do almost everything on my phone.
And it wasn't even that you got burned in some way. It's just that realizing how much various services knew where you were, that it, like, creeped you out.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. You know that. You click those settings that say okay, and, you know, you don't really think about it. And then when this morning that thing kind of popped up on my phone, I was like, wow, I don't know how it knows that or where it gathered that data from or where that came from and how it knows exactly where I'm going and which school I'm at. And that kind of, to me, was, wait a second, I don't want everything and everybody to know exactly where I'm at all times for no reason, just because it's private.
Ellie, thank you very much. And we'll continue with Manoush Zomorodi and the privacy paradox in a minute. WNYC with our note to self host and managing editor Manoush Zomorodi and her new series and project called The Privacy Paradox. They have a website for it, privacyparadox.org, where you can take a privacy self-analysis profile quiz and an activity to do every day next week. We'll go over a few more of those. Manoush, you're like a walking activity book.
I know, right? Well, this is the only way that I can understand these big topics. For me, I have to break it down into all the different parts. I have to try different things myself to see what really gets me excited or helps me really understand something. And what we found with these interactive projects is the listeners love doing it too. So you know, you have the benefit of the podcast. You can listen whenever you want. But we've had tens of thousands of people waking up every morning and knowing that there are tens of thousands of other people waking up and they're going to try something together. They're going to try a digital tool or a behavior change and see what happens.
And you asked listeners in advance of this rollout to tell you how they feel when they have to click agree
yes.
on terms of service. And here's one response you got from Laura in Hoboken.
I am a stay-at-home mom getting ready to re-enter the workforce. And now I need to make sure I'm searchable and share a lot of information about myself because it's vital to getting a new job. And I'm feeling really conflicted between the two things that are really important to me, one being privacy and the other about being, I guess, perceived as relevant.
Perceived as relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to, people need to be able to find you because, you know, that's the worst. I've had people say to me, oh, I put you in the Google and lots of stuff come up and you're, and that's seen as a sign of like, you matter, right? That's how we're getting validation these days. It's likes and clicks and tweets and URLs. And so the question is, where do we draw the line? And for everyone, it's going to be different. And it sounds like Laura, that's what she's working to figure out.
Victoria in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Brian. I had two quick creepy stories about Facebook, which led me to delete my Facebook app. So I just got out of a long relationship. I put my relationship status on Facebook just as in a relationship. I didn't say who I was in a relationship with. And when I changed it from in a relationship to just nothing, there's an option for just dash. Immediately something popped up and it said, seen too much of somebody lately with my ex-boyfriend's profile.
Whoa.
And, like, we never communicated through Facebook. I never would wish him happy birthday or said I love you or given any indication to Facebook that that was the human that I was dating. So that freaked me out. And then the next day, my roommate started dating somebody, and she started dating a black man, and she's white. And when she put the two in a relationship with him, she started getting video recommendations, like how to wash black hair.
Well, you know what? I actually know why this happened. So our friends over at ProPublica did an investigation into how Facebook categorizes people. They built a tool and tens of thousands of people helped them sort of test their tool. And they discovered over 52,000 different categories that Facebook puts you in. And one of those categories is pretending to text while in public. Another one is that grass, I'm not sure whether that means smoking it or just walking in it or what. And another one is ethnic affinity, which is very interesting. So meaning that your friend isn't necessarily African American, but she has an affinity for things considered African American, which, you know, on the one hand, okay, fine, whatever. She got ads for particular shampoo or something. But on the other hand, what they also learned was that there were companies that could place ads on Facebook where they left out certain people who had an African-American affinity. And, of course, that is illegal when it comes to housing and all sorts of other things. You cannot decide to leave a certain sector of the population out. And so was there specific discrimination? No, but it starts to be a tricky discussion here, Brian, you know?
I hear you. Victoria, thank you for that. Let's do one more before we run out of time. Tony in Belmar, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Brian. I was just wondering if these companies are using my data and selling and sharing my data, where's my cut? Do I get paid for this?
That's a great one. Is there any way? I always think about that with clothing that has a company's logo on it. Like, they should pay me for being a walking billboard.
Well,
so is there any way for Tony or anyone else to capitalize on? You know, could it be we're selling them our data?
So I think, Tony, what they would say is, well, you're getting usually a free service and it's very personalized towards you. But you are absolutely right. I went to hang out with actually the inventor of the World Wide Web, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, at his lab at MIT. And he is working on something called personal data stores, which would let people like Tony store, manage, and use their own personal data as they will. So, for example, instead of you logging into Facebook would log into you and you would decide what you would be comfortable sharing.
Huh. You went to see Tim Berners-Lee.
I did. Like, isn't that cool?
Yeah, what was that like? Was that like going to see, Oz or something like The Wizard?
Yes, it was. And he's delightful and warm and I think slightly horrified at what has happened to the thing that he's built, because his concept was really for it to be a place of equality. And we do get some wonderful things off of the web, but we've gone also to this place where we do not have control over our own personal information.
This was the segment on the show today where I thought we weren't going to talk about the Supreme Court nominee.
Oh, sorry.
But you told me during the break that these issues are going to come before the Supreme Court. In what way?
Well, I think, for example, police cannot search our cell phones without a warrant. This is thanks to a 2014 Supreme Court ruling. But what about all the other information? Your location, your emails passing through your phone, in and out to companies that provide these services. The highest court has not ruled on any of this yet, Brian. And so there's other questions. Like, for example, last month, law enforcement asked Amazon for anything that the Amazon Echo had recorded in the home of a man who was accused of murder. And did he share his conversations with Amazon? What does share even mean? What digital information can police access without a warrant? This is all really up for debate. And I think that this is going to be one of the key issues, digital rights going before the court as we proceed.
All right. Patrick Leahy, take note. Questions to ask Neil Gorsuch when he comes before your committee. We just have 30 seconds left. Why don't you tell people one more time how they can participate in the activities next week and otherwise in your Privacy Paradox project.
Yeah, guys, come and join us. We're going to have such a good time getting educated and trying things out next week. It starts Monday, February 6th. You can sign up right now at privacyparadox.org. When you sign up, it's going to kick off a newsletter that welcomes you. You can take your privacy quiz, and we're just going to have a great time learning and understanding what privacy means in the 21st century.
Privacyparadox.org is the website. Note to self is the podcast. The host and managing editor is this walking activity book, Manoush Zomorodi. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.